A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. The end of the regency of Otto III. Although he's still a teenager, Otto III officially came of age in 994. He had barely ascended to his true role when he received word that Italy, yet again, needed to be liberated from a tyrant. With his old friend Guibert in tow, he descended on Italy to find John XV dead. The people, fearing both Otto and the corruption that had plagued the papacy for so long, declared that any man he should nominate would be elected pope. At this time, he would pass up Guibert, later having him appointed Bishop of Ravenna instead, and chose his former chaplain and cousin, who chose the name Gregory V. Gregory immediately returned the favor by formally crowning Otto III as the Holy Roman Emperor. The next day, Otto passed judgment on Crescentius Nomentus. As a just Christian emperor, he showed leniency and had planned banishment alone. But upon the foolish advice of Gregory V, he even commuted that sentence and Crescentius was forgiven. Perhaps Otto forgot or never knew how much pride the Italians had. He himself had the greatest respect for Rome, and although its people did not fully realize it, their greatest ally. In the years to come, Otto would plan to make Rome again the seat of power for the whole empire and meticulously drafted plans on how to make Charlemagne's dream of a Christian Rome a reality. Otto III dreamed of the greatness of Rome as a truly Christian Rome, something it had never truly been. Nevertheless, its proud and arrogant people resented the presence of a Germanic pope even more than they resented having a Germanic emperor. When Otto returned to Germany a month later, rebellion would crop up, led by Crescentius Nomentus. But in the month before Otto departed, he still had much to do. Soon after Otto's mercy to Crescentius, he learned of another upon whom he should have mercy. Having been contacted by Gregory V, it seems that after 54 years, Maserati, now in her 90s, had not yet mercifully died. Her body was withered and malnourished so that she was barely able to stand. Otto III and Gregory V decided to show mercy. She was readmitted into the church, absolved of her sins, and mercifully executed. Despite being one of the most vile women in history, she cannot help but to inspire pity. Betrayed by her own son, she lingered on for over a half a century in the worst dungeons, with no companions, no love, no hope. Perhaps those protracted years led her to repentance, or perhaps justice was served, but hopefully both. Now Otto began to lay in his designs for a new Rome. Although his plans for a Christian Rome were just beginning, he knew that a revived Roman Empire could never be without the Byzantine Empire. He therefore desired to strengthen an always tenuous alliance with the Eastern Roman Empire by arranging for a marriage alliance with Constantinople. Even as his father had. He selected his grandfather, John Philogatus, as envoy to the capital of Byzantium, and returned to Germany to await his reply. Gregory V was more aware of the Romans' distaste for Germanic blood than Otto had been. He had hoped that by showing mercy to Crescentius would return the favor. He also hoped to win over the Italians by showing his support of their cause in the Rheims affair after Guibert had taken part in a few years earlier. He again asserted that Guibert had usurped the bishopric of Rheims and that Arnulf was its rightful bishop. He further requested that parts of the papal states, which had been taken back by the emperor during the revolts, be returned to the papal see. This was refused by Otto III. Despite all these measures, which showed the pope was not afraid to stand up to his colleague the emperor, the people of Rome still viewed him as a foreigner. Not more than a month had passed after Otto's departure, before Gregory was asking for his return to protect him. Whether Otto thought Gregory paranoid, whether he was angry for Gregory's stances, or whether Otto was truly too ill to make the journey as he claimed, the fact is that Otto did not offer any assistance. By October, Crescentius Nomentus felt secure enough to stage his new revolt. Gregory V was deposed, took refuge in the Duchy of Spoleto. With the assistance of the Duke of Spoleto, an ally of Otto, he attempted to retake the Vatican, but twice was repelled from Rome, unable to secure victory. Having failed to achieve a military victory, he went to Lombardy, where he secured the support of the bishops and excommunicated Crescentius. Crescentius's response was to install a new pope and declare Gregory V as an impostor and a pretender to the tiara. John Philogatus had returned recently from Constantinople with an imperial envoy from the east. He found himself returning to a Roman revolt. Crescentius needed a new pope, and John seemed a good choice. Crescentius reasoned that John was Otto's grandfather and therefore might not incur the emperor's wrath if he were named pope. Moreover, John's envoy from Byzantium was well aware of the political situation and relished the idea of causing a split between Rome and the Frankish emperor. John was named Pope John XVI in place of Gregory V, but John was to be nothing more than Crescentius's puppet and confined to purely spiritual duties. By this time, Otto had intervened. He still resided in Germany for the time being, but sent his demands to Rome. John agreed to acquiesce to all of the emperor's demands, but Crescentius intercepted the imperial messengers and had them imprisoned. In December of 997, Otto III began the march into Italy. John fled, but it was not until February of 998 that Otto again took possession of Rome, storming Castel di San Angelo and seizing Crescentius. He had shown mercy before, but what followed this time was to be an example to all. Crescentius Nominatus was executed, but Pope John XVI was not so fortunate. He had his eyes gouged out, and his nose, tongue, and lips were mutilated. He was ridden backwards on a donkey through Rome, as was the ancient Roman custom, and sentenced to live out the rest of his days in a monastery. Otto III finally realized, as all the great emperors did, that no emperor can rule effectively unless he have ruled from Rome. Otto decided to make his palace in Rome, and there he would stay. But we have a significant amount of other issues that Otto III is going to have to deal with, so we'll begin with those next time. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.